A gift from one servant of Dune to another. I must warn you, only those touched by the gods should wield their wrath. I will pray to her that she need not use it to avoid reacquainting herself with the other who curries her favor. Her path is still not set. Recovered correspondence of High Priestess Deservée to His Royal Highness, Cadet Arik Greycastle, Prince Camelane of Navarre.
I swear the tornado slows as Terran battles the wind at the eastern edge of the field, flying for the mountainside ahead of us.
It is slowing.
She used it to get us here. Theophany's hold is like a knocked arrow, waiting for our arrival. Trees are uprooted a mile to the left, turning into low-flying projectiles that hurl across the field like crossbolts. The tornado may have slowed its progress, but it's doing far more damage along the way. The Wyvern launches ahead of us, moving our way, and for a split second, I can't help but wonder if I've just invited Malik to our doorstep. She's a maven, and I'm a cadet. She wields storms with expert precision, and I need a conduit for my lightning. She's already felled Terran once before. The smartest thing I could do is fly for the wards and save us both. All four of us, considering Zayden and Sigail. But I can't leave those people to die, even if it means we're desiccated alongside them. Riders don't run. We fight.
Now, preferably, if you're done accepting our deaths.
Not accepting, just calculating. I draw power through my charred veins as the distance between us grows smaller and smaller, gripping the conduit in my left hand and raising my right. Energy rips through me as I release it, dragging the bolt downward and letting go before it can blister my fingers. Lightning strikes as Theophany's Wyvern rolls to the right. I missed. My stomach clenches.
Again.
Terran banks right to follow her down as rain turns to ice. Hail hits in stones the size of peas, then cherries, hitting me with the force of 1,000 blunt arrows as wind tears at my face. But I lift my hand. The conduit shatters. Glass slices into my palm. Blood wells. No. I can't aim without it.
You have to.
We spiral downward. Right. Dying up here isn't an option I'm willing to entertain. And I'm not about to let her kill my friends, or Zayden either. I quickly undo the strap holding the jagged remnants to my wrist, and let what's left of the orb and the fist-sized chunk of ice that destroyed it fall away. My hope plummets with it. I'll have to kill her just like I did those Wyvern, with volume. I unsheathe my last alloy-hilted dagger and grasp it with my bleeding hand so I'm ready for anything. Lift my right hand and wield again. I miss as she rolls in the opposite direction and begins to climb. We follow, and I draw power again and again, but it becomes harder with every strike. She avoids every single one as we fly along the mountain, hugging the terrain. Terran surges with sweeping beats of his wings, gaining on her. Heat singes my lungs, then burns, then fries until I feel nothing but fire and rage. Rock flies as I hit the ridgeline to the right, missing her by 10 feet as we fly into the sun. The sun? I jerk my head left. The tornado has stalled midway toward the city, and the sky above us is clear all the way to the east. She's killing the storm to make it harder for me to wield. That explains why I'm burning hotter than before. I jerk my focus back to our prey before it can wander toward the city I'm desperately fighting to save.
Do not take more than you can channel.
Terran lunges forward, his teeth snap closed a few feet behind the Wyvern's tail. They're too fucking fast. The Wyvern dives, curving along the ridgeline to the right, and Terran follows. A roar fills my head, so loud it vibrates my bones, and shrill enough to pop my ears.
Sigail!
Terran's wings losing their rhythm, and my heart skips a series of beats. Oh, Malik, no! I hurl myself at the bond, but the wall of ice doesn't just stand firm, it repels me with brute force. Dread nails my stomach to the floor as we lose speed. I hear the snap a second before the shadow falls over us. No, not a shadow. A massive net with weights the size of desks attached along the edges. Terran banks left, but it's no use.
Terran!
The net hits, smashing my torso downward onto the pommels and covering every scale I can see. He'd be able to bear the weight of it easily on his torso, but it smothers his wings and the weights. Oh gods!
Tuck your wings or they'll break!
His roar of indignation shakes the rocks loose from the mountainside, but he snaps them closed, tangling in the net, and we fall.
Prepare yourself!
The mountain flies up in a blur. And Darna, Zayden, Sigail, Mira, Brennan, my friends, they slip through my mind in a whirl of pictures I can't grasp onto, flickering too fast to fully feel. All I can do is ease off the pommels, lean right to spare the inevitable impact to my abdomen as the thick rope of the net digs into my back.
Taren, you have been the gift of my life.
It is not over.
We hit with a jarring impact, bone crunching against rock, and my left arm snaps, and the dagger falls. A scream forces its way through my lips as we slide down the mountain. Just like the first time we encountered Theophany, the sound of claws scraping over stone consumes my existence as I fight to block out the pain. And Taren swings his body weight, so we skid headfirst through the trees in an endless, terrifying plunge. I keep my head down to avoid any low-hanging branches as something digs painfully into my ribs, and eventually, our momentum slows. Holy shit, we just might survive the fall.
Of course we'll survive.
Are you hurt? We come to a stop at what appears to be the edge of the forest.
Nothing that won't heal after we free ourselves and separate her sinew from bone.
The scent of sulfur fills the air as Taren breathes fire through the net. Wood crackles and net thwangs. Then he surges forward and the net slips just enough for me to sit up through the opening that's clearly designed to hold dragons, not riders.
We have to get to Sigale.
Which means getting him free. But it will take too long to cut through these ropes with the ruined daggers I have. And even if I do, I'll still have to wield to kill her without my alloy-hilted one. And I'm already edging burnout. My arm throbs mercilessly, and every breath I take scalds my lungs.
Sigale can handle herself.
Bowstring tight tension and worry radiate down the bond as fire streams again, and he fights to get us loose.
And the Dark Wielder descends ahead.
Sure enough, Theophany's wyvern glides down toward the field like they have all the time in the world, like we're pinned exactly where she wants us. Gods, she's relentless. It doesn't matter that my arm throbs with excruciating intensity. We have to get out of here right fucking now. Time to use the runes I brought in case of an emergency, and pray I tempered them correctly, because this is definitely a crisis.
We have to get out from under this thing.
Cradling my left arm to my chest, I twist for my pack, but something pushes into my ribs as I dig into the bag one-handed. I discard the ones I don't need, then snag the one for softening surfaces and shove it up against the rope. Here's hoping it's right. Magic ripples, and the fibers stretch and give way. My eyebrows rise. It works.
Rip what you can.
Stay seated so we can fly.
He shreds the net on the edges of his spikes, and I take the opportunity to grab whatever's jabbing me in my pocket. Arik's package. I catch the hastily scrawled message on the edge of the package I'd missed when Sloan handed it to me.
For when you lose yours, strike in the dark, Violet.
What the fuck? The fall has broken the wax seal and the parchment unrolls as I loosen my grip, dropping a carved piece of gray marble in my lap. A ceremonial-looking dagger with familiar flame-shaped etchings along the hilt. I glance at the accompanying note from the High Priestess of Dune's Temple in Arisha, but the letters blur as the pain in my arm flares and Taren thrashes to free us.
A gift from one servant of Dune to another. I must warn you, only those touched by the gods should wield their wrath. I will pray to her that she need not use it to avoid reacquainting herself with the other who curries her favor. Her path is still not set.
My stomach pitches. How would Arik know I'd lose my dagger? Let alone think that some piece of rock could replace...
Ahead of us!
I jerk my attention forward and sheathe the marble dagger out of instinct. Theophany stalks toward us from the tree line, her hair fraying from its braid, and there's nothing patient or amused on her face. I frantically scan what sky I can see. Theophany's wyvern waits in the field beyond the trees, and the only other wings I find are locked in battle over Drathus in the distance, which hopefully means she's alone.
How much time do you need to free yourself?
I wrench the buckle of my saddle free and climb through the hole in the net. Pain shoots up my left arm, but I pretend it belongs to someone else and keep going. Pain doesn't matter if you're dead.
Moments! Do not—
I'm not going to let her kill you like a trussed pig!
Fear and wrath fuel me as I scramble for his shoulder, struggling to keep my arm stable until he stills. He must have thrown his claws out before the net hit, because his forelegs are already extended, bracketing his lower jaw. I draw a runed dagger, then slide down, dragging the edge of the blade along his leg as I go. The blade won't cut scale, but the net falls apart in its wake.
Brought low by a net?
Theophany strides toward us.
how easy it was to catch the pair of them.
The pair? The scream.
They have Segail too.
Taren's rage washes over me like acid. I put myself in front of Taren and open the floodgates to his power, welcoming the scorch of heat and flame in my blistered veins.
Silver One.
Taren growls in warning to the accompaniment of the sound of shredding rope.
If I burn out, so be it. But she won't touch you.
I say it aloud, just so Theophany will know I'm not fucking around.
Have you made your choice then?
Theophany comes closer by the step.
I have.
I flick my right hand skyward and let the energy snap through me, yanking it down with the tip of my finger. Theophany races 10 yards to the right, moving faster than I've ever seen.
You'll have to be.
I wield again before she can finish and strike the very place she's standing, but she's already 20 feet to my left.
Faster.
I strike again, only for the pattern to repeat, again and again and again. My lungs scream as I breathe the very thing I've become, heat and power and rage. But she's still too fast for me to catch, and moving closer to Taren with every failed strike.
Almost there.
Ropes snap behind me. I need to throw her off her game, now. I hold my next strike when she appears 20 feet ahead.
Tell me, do you miss Unbreal?
Her eyes flare and she startles. Victory. I gather more and more power, spooling it like molten thread.
Do you not yearn for Temple?
I use the words the High Priestess had on me. Her face twists with an emotion that almost looks like longing, but it's quickly masked with anger.
Do you? Or are you immune, having only been touched but not dedicated?
She charges forward.
Do you know the pain of never being allowed to return? Of knowing that it would sever the very thing that's kept me untouchable all these years!
I let a fraction of my power release, striking the ground in front of her, and she skids to a halt. Touched. Shit. The priestess in Unbreal had said that too. So had the note wrapped around Arik's gift.
As a high priestess, you would have had immeasurable power on the isle. How was it still not enough?
Why serve a god when you can be one?
Putrid fear consumes the bond. Segail. My head jerks upward, my heart lurching against the cage of my ribs as Taren snarls, his talons furrowing in the forest floor.
Don't!
Terror clogs my throat as I shout for Zayden, but he can't hear me. Draethys is enveloped in darkness, and the shrieking cries of wyverns soon follow, racing across the field and echoing off the rock above.
What?
Theophany pivots toward the noise. Shadow spreads like a ripple on a lake, devouring the field in the fury of an onyx storm, and sweeping toward us at a speed that squeezes the hope from my chest, then outright shatters my heart. The pain hits like a physical blow to the center of my chest. He's terrifyingly powerful with Segail, but not like this. This is the kind of force that ends worlds, and it's almost here.
I love you.
I whisper down the bond, and the ice cracks. But it's not enough to halt the approaching wave of darkness. Shadows throw Theophany to the ground. A second before it rushes over me, whisper soft against my cheeks, tossing us into pitch black night.
Strike!
I hear the net give way. Exhaustion grabs hold and refuses to be ignored. I'm too tired, too close to burning alive. What's the point if I can't catch her?
Use the darkness!
My heart stutters. Use the very thing that's taken Zayden from me? I never dreamed that taking every possible path to cure him would lead to his choice. The fire devouring me from the inside out threatens to consume my very bones, and for a second, I debate letting it. I couldn't stop my mother, and I can't stop Zayden. I can't save him. Wait. Strike in the darkness. That's what Arik's note said. Like he knew this would happen. I gasp. As all the pieces click in one overwhelming heartbeat. The reinforcements, telling me to guard Dune's temple, yanking Lynx out of the way before the doors even open to the Great Hall. He knew. He's been manifesting this entire time.
He's a fucking precog.
A real one. Not like Melgrin, who can only foresee battles. If Arik wields true precognition, he saw this, and he gave me a weapon made of the fractured temple. A temple Theophany can't step inside. I don't believe in oracles. but I do believe in signets. I unsheathe the marble dagger with my right hand, then mix my pain into the searing power that scorches what's left of my beating heart. Lift my broken arm and release the agonizing burn of energy skyward, and hold it. The continuous strike lights up our surroundings and branches out through the shadow, revealing Theophany's back. She stumbles to her feet and whirls toward me, her eyes flaring wide as she dives left, smacking into an invisible wall and falling backward. A wall that snarls, scales shimmer in the same silver blue as my strike, and a small dragon stalks toward Theophany, her head low, teeth bared, and just like that, my stammering heartbeat stabilizes. And Darna! Theophany reaches out her hand, wonder lighting her red eyes. I don't care what her intentions are. She's not getting her hands on Andarna. Pain wraps me in a broiling vice and fire sears my lungs, but I hold the bolt and sprint. Andarna leaving was one thing. Losing her to the touch of a dark wielder is incomprehensible.
Irrit.
Theophany strains toward Andarna. I lunge, driving the dagger straight into her heart. Fire breathes through me until I am char and cinder and agony. She staggers backward. Then she sees the blood and stops.
How?
Her eyes flare and she topples to her knees.
Stone doesn't kill venom.
You were never just venom. Dune is a wrathful goddess to high priestesses who turn their backs on her. She opens her mouth to scream, then desiccates in an instant. I release the bolt, plunging us into darkness and surrendering to the fire burning me alive.
Violet.
And then I hear nothing.
The only thing more unpredictable than the volatile province that is Tirindor is her duke. There's a reason reigning aristocracy should never wear black. Journal of General Augustine Melgrin.
It was one thing to beckon me, call me, summon me to this hidden, sun-soaked canyon south of Dreyfus against my will. To drag me from the walls of our defenses and force me to walk away from my friends and a city full of civilians. It is wholly another to have wounded and ensnared Sigale. Blood drips among her scales, coursing down her shoulder, and the sight of it soaking the forearm thick ropes that bind her cuts me to the quick and floods me with power in a way nothing else could. I take it all, then draw more. But she's already depleted from holding off so many wyvern at the walls of Dreyfus. Wrath courses like a current under the ice I willingly skate onto, cutting my emotions free like the burdens they are, so I can be the weapon she needs. She was the first to choose me, to elevate me above all others. The first to see every ugly side of me and accept it all. And every single person in this fucking canyon will die before they remove a single one of her scales. Violet will free Tairn. That's the only outcome I allow to exist. The two Venons standing guard ahead of me at the mouth of the canyon and their ridiculous robes aren't an issue. I'll have them desiccated within heartbeats as soon as Sigale can regain enough power. But the one who walks forward toward Panchak's cowering, traitorous ass, putting himself between Sigale and me, he's a problem. Not because he's more lethal, not even because he's supposed to be dead, but because I can't kill him. I could no more raise a blade to his throat than I could Violet. The bond between violence and me is the kind of magic that has no explanation. The bond between Berwyn and me is the kind that should never exist. And now that my sage has another sibling he can use against me, I'm screwed.
Watch carefully, my initiate.
Berwyn speaks to me over his shoulder, barring the scar down the middle of his face from when I threw him into the ravine at Basgaeth. I glance past Berwyn, past Sigale and the Venon, to my new brother and the unconscious dragon lying in the valley beyond the canyon, guarded by 7 Wyvern. How could he do this? Choose this after watching me stumble and fall over the last 5 months? How could he willingly walk the path I fought like hell to leave? He's the last person I ever would have expected to turn. And yet, here we are. I can't let Sigale die. Can't leave him to stumble down the same path I did. Can't allow my friends to perish because I selfishly want to keep Violet by my side. A clamoring, consuming emotion pounds at the ice, but I can't let it in. She has her own path. No matter what I choose, it's wrong. But only one path leaves Sigale alive.
This is not what we agreed to!
Pancheck stumbles backward, toward his own shrieking, netted dragon. I don't bother looking in their direction. Fucker deserves to suffer for selling us out. Whatever the sage, what Berwyn does, is of no consequence to me. How much information has he sold to the enemy? Certainly enough to lure us all to Dreyfus. How many times did he give them Violet's location? He dies. The decision is made without debate.
Do not lose yourself.
Sigale thrashes against the net that has her pinned to the rocky ground 20 feet in front of me.
You have not turned as a result of his ploys this afternoon. Do not give in to this one.
But he hadn't had her. And now he does.
There's no other way.
I slowly unsheathe the 2 alloy-hilted daggers I keep at my thighs and earn a glare from the Dark Wielder standing at the tip of Sigale's tail, his fingers splayed in obvious threat.
Did you not ask for power?
Berwyn holds 2 alloy-hilted daggers of his own as he approaches Pancheck.
Have I not provided?
Put those away. We both know you're not going to hurt me.
Pancheck reaches for the net over his dragon.
I'm the only one who can give you access to your son.
I have another.
Berwyn stabs deep between the dragon's scales. And it desiccates. Green draining from its scales and shrinking in on itself to a husk. Terror bursts through the ice. Berwyn just killed a dragon with a dagger. How the fuck is that possible?
Were you watching? Because that's exactly what's about to happen to yours.
He turns to me and saunters towards Sigale as she thrashes futilely under the net.
You'll have to channel deep to replace the loss of her power.
He lifts the blade, and I don't just skate over the ice, I become it.
Stop!
Sigale blows back Berwyn's robes.
Do not do this to save me.
Do this? It's already done. How fucking dare they pull my dragon from the sky, snare, and hurt the one who anchors my existence? I throw my blades into the air, fall to one knee, splay my hand over the canyon floor, and break. In my final act of resistance, I become the very thing I despise. Maybe it's good that I can't feel a single damn thing. I breathe in the power that pulses beneath my hand like a living, breathing creature, and exhale darkness. Shadow streams through the canyon, thick as tar and black as ink, blacking out the afternoon sun and turning the space pitch black. Shadow plants my daggers in the chest of the 2 Venon standing guard. Shadow drags Berwyn from Sigale and knocks both him and my new brother unconscious. Shadow brings quiet. My soul departs like pieces of ash from a fire, flaking free and drifting away as power consumes the space it once inhabited. I'm no longer on the ice. I am the ice. And still I feed, tunneling deep into the source of magic itself and surging outward simultaneously, finding the identical heartbeats that mark Wyvern and slicing through scale with Shadow, ripping their runestones free.
I start with the one who dared set his teeth in Sigale's shoulder. Skim past the one who now thinks himself my brother, then destroy the six blocking the entrance to this canyon. Save them. The last remaining pieces of me beg, holding on with teeth and claw to keep from being torn away too. My shadows surge from the canyon, over the city, ending every wyvern in the air and on the ground. I'm everywhere at once, shredding the net that ensnares Sigale, tearing the heart from the wyvern who has Dane and Kath backed into a corner, rushing over Imogen as she looks to the sky. I'm at the pass, plucking wyvern off one by one, listening with satisfaction as their bodies hit the ground in front of the people she loves. I stream up the cliffside, fall back at the magic that burns to the touch, and surge north.
I love you.
Violet's voice cracks the cold, and a silken thread of warmth wedges itself in the opening before it seals shut, locking it in place. No, wait. I grab for that thread with desperate hands, clawing to keep her as more of my pieces are blown away, lost to the void. She is warmth and light and air and love. My shadows consume the valley she stands in, dagger bared, defending Taryn from the same style of net that caught Sigale. I shove the maven to the ground, regardless of her rank, then slide over Violet with a gentleness that takes all my concentration. I love her. That is the emotion I cling to. The fire of pure power burning at the feeling's edges, and I know if I can take it any further, it will be the next and final piece to float away. I bare my teeth and yank my hand from the ground. Gasping for a full breath as my heart thunders. I've never felt so strong and so defeated at the same time. This was the only way. I rise to my feet and release the shadows, and the canyon comes into view. Sigale struggles to stand upright ahead of me, blood dripping from the bite marks on her shoulder. The net falls in tatters, and she expands her wings to their full width, taking nearly every foot in the canyon. She glances over the destruction, the bodies, and narrows her golden eyes in silent rebuke. Will you forsake me now? I walk over Berwyn's unconscious body. I'd kill him if I could. Fuck, I thought I had. I wonder how many initiates feel the same about their sage. At least one that I know of. But beyond the physical impossibility of it, he has something I need. And I'm no longer an initiate.
What is there left of you to forsake?
Sigale lowers her head, and steam gusts down the canyon, reminding me of the moment she found me in the forest at threshing. You tell me. I lower the ice and let her in. Her next breath is laced with sulfur, and her eyes widen.
You cannot mean to.
You saw what happened. It is the only way. She glances over her shoulder.
And you think she'll help?
She loves me.
Taryn does not, and you haven't looked in a mirror yet. The red veins branching from your eyes look like her lightning.
She'll help. It comes out with a hell of a lot more certainty than I feel. She promised.
Even if she agrees, no one will—
Someone owes me a favor.
He'll never let you near her, especially while she lies in a vulnerable state.
Is she hurt? The beating organ behind my ribs stumbles. And I reach down the bond that connects my mind to hers, but it's muddled with unconsciousness.
Yes.
Sigale's head moving in a serpentine motion.
But she will survive. They have completed the wards, but they extend no farther than Draethys.
That's good. Bad. Fuck. I don't know. What even am I? Hers.
Persuade Taryn.
Everything depends on it.
We will ask, and her decision will determine our fate.
Those are terms I can agree to. We're airborne in less than a minute.
While cadets are strongly encouraged not to form romantic attachments while studying in the Quadrant, lieutenants are permitted to marry whomever they choose upon graduation. Article 5, Section 7, the Dragon Rider's Codex.
Violet!
Brennan races down the steps of Ryerson House and into the moonlit courtyard. Sounds of celebration stream from the open doors. I groggily rise to my feet beside Imogen. And a shape moves in the shadows to the right.
I will not let them burn you.
What? My head whips her way. Why would my brother burn me? And why in Dune's name would I be sitting on gravel in the courtyard? My thoughts are slow. Something's off. Something's wrong.
Are you all right?
Am I all right? His eyes bulge, and he looks me over for injury.
It's 3 o'clock in the morning. Where have you been?
A group of riders I don't recognize comes through the gate at our left.
Wilson!
The taller one walks our way.
Report.
He glances over his shoulder.
Quietly.
My mouth opens, then shuts. Where have I been?
We've...
The officer's gaze darts over me.
It's fine.
Official numbers are 4 riders, their dragons, and 3 elders murdered in the valley in what we're estimating is the last few hours. And we still have 5 riders missing. 4 now.
He adds as he looks at me. His mouth tenses.
But after that display, we all know Ryerson did this. I bet the other 3 are already dead.
My stomach lurches, and Imogen tenses so hard she might as well be stone. Wait, is this a dream? I clench my right fist and prick my palm with my fingernails, just enough to feel pain. But I don't wake.
The wards are holding in Drathus as of the last report, but who knows how many of those desiccations during the battle were actually him. And so far, the tally is at 6 missing eggs from the hatching ground. But they're double-checking.
Missing eggs? I reach for Taren, but the bond feels foggy, like he's asleep.
He needs a cycle of rest to recover.
Recover? From what? He was fine when I saw him last, which was about 5 minutes ago in the woods at the edge of the field, where I killed Theophany. Sadin. The Wall of Shadows. My heart sinks. What the fuck is happening? How did I get here? Why is my head so hazy? Am I concussed?
You're dismissed. Keep this classified until we have a full report.
Just because she's your sister doesn't mean she's not the fastest way.
Dismissed!
Brennan waits until the rider is fully out of earshot.
Do you know where he is, Ryerson? You heard what Wilson said. We have dead dragons and riders and missing eggs. And if you've seen Ryerson, I need to know, Violet.
Words fail me. Why can't I think? I don't know. I raise my hands to my mouth, and a piece of parchment in my front pocket catches my arm, then falls. Brennan catches it.
Cardullo.
He lifts his eyes to Imogen.
I haven't seen him since yesterday. Lieutenant Tavis?
Among the missing.
Brennan glances my way and does a double take.
Holy shit, Violet.
What? I lower my arms. Garrick is missing too? Who else makes up the 4 riders Wilson mentioned?
Your finger.
Imogen then stares at the ground. My finger. The snap. Right.
I think I broke my arm.
I glance down and stare. My left arm is splinted, and a beautiful gold ring with an emerald the size of my thumbnail sits on my hand. Oh, God. I know that stone. It matches the others from the blade of Arisha upstairs on Zayden's nightstand. Is it the missing one?
What is happening right now?
You don't know.
I shake my head. Brennan turns to the paper from my pocket.
This carries the seal of Dune. May I open it?
I nod, gawking at the ring. It's not just any ring or any finger. It's the finger. But how? I was in the field battling Theophany this afternoon, and then she desiccated, and I burned myself straight into unconsciousness. Now it's 3 a.m., and I'm in Arisha, and there are murdered dragons and riders. Missing riders and missing eggs? Zayden wouldn't do that. Would he? The storm of shadows. My blood chills. How far had he gone? I fling myself down the bond, but there's nothing there. It's gone.
Or he's too far away to feel it. I remind myself to keep from panicking. When had he put this ring on my hand?
It's an official blessing of your legal binding marriage.
Brennan quickly rolls the parchment.
By the head priestess of Dune's temple.
To Zayden? Gravity bends, warping everything I thought I knew into whatever this reality is. Brennan nods. My eyes flare. We're married? 1,000 emotions try to force their way through my jumbled thoughts, but the immediate rush of awe trips right over the logic of how. There's no fucking way I'd forget something like that. Why isn't he here? Where did he go and why?
I think the note on the outside is meant for you.
Brennan hands back the parchment. I flip the missive over to see two sentences written in Zayden's handwriting.
Don't look for me. It's yours now.
He's gone. I try to fumble my foggy brain through the overwhelming shock, but I can't think straight. It's like someone has fucked with my... No. My chest draws tight. How long have I been missing?
12 hours.
What did you do? My head snaps toward Imogen, and a deep sense of foreboding takes root in my chest. She slowly lifts her gaze to mine.
What you asked me to.
The Empyrean, Book 3, Onyx Storm, Part 2 of 2, by Rebecca Yaros, is a Graphic Audio production. Copyright 2025 by Rebecca Yaros. All rights reserved, including the right to reproduce, distribute, or transmit in any form or by any means. Recorded by arrangement with Entangled Publishing, LLC. Production copyright 2025 Graphic Audio LLC, all rights reserved. Unauthorized download and/or duplication is prohibited. Narrated by Kaya Freites as Violet Soaringale, Gabriel Michael as Zayden Ryerson, Taylor Cohan as Rhiannon, and Jessica Schley as Imogen. Featuring Lamont Rigel as Tern, Rob Moreira as Riddick, Danny Gaffigan as Brennan, Megan Poppy as Antarna, Laura C. Harris as Mira, Suling Chan as Theophany, Torian Brackett as Dane, Henry W. Kramer as Sawyer, James J. Johnson as Bodhi, Belshaber Rusape as Arik, Kaylee Rivera as Catriona, and Rainer Gabriel as Garrick. With additional performances by Scott McCormick, Elias Halil, Ozzy Jacobs, Yasmin Toison, Eric Messner, Sarah Ruth Thomas, Nazia Chowdhury, Ore Nash, Emily McFarland, Troy Allen, Carolyn Kashner, Matthew Bassett, Thomas Penny, Peter Holdway, Julie Hoverson, Marissa Clay, Rose Elizabeth Supan, Mort Shelby, Stephanie Nemeth Parker, Jenna Sharp, Lily Beacon, Dejanette Horn, Lydia Craniotis, Terrence Aselford, Cody Roberts, Michael Glenn, Gwen Grassdorf, James Lewis, Jerry J. Marshall, Renee Dorian, Deepa Samuel, Wynne Delano, Joel David Santner, David Burke, Christopher Walker, Natalie Van Sistine, Todd Schofield, Marnie Penning, Mike Carnes, Amanda Forstrom, Donald Guzzi, Sarah Greenfield, T. Siobhan Stort, Debbie Tinsley, Earl Fisher, J. W. Roan, K. Alluvian, Nanette Savard, and Mecca Rogers. Adapted for Graphic Audio and directed by Scott McCormick. Dialogue editing by Maddie Famartino, Mayanne Ross, and Justin Rohde. Graphic Audio sound design by Maddie Famartino. Produced by Colleen Delaney, Scott McCormick, David Zitney, Casey Green, and Aaron Coe. Executive producers, Angie Cornett, Dwayne Beeman, and Matt Webb. Need the rest? Listen to Fourth Wing, Iron Flame, and Onyx Storm, all available now in graphic audio. If you want more passionate full cast audio fantasy, keep listening for a sample of Hidden Legacy 1, Burn for Me, by Ileana Andrews. Available now in sizzling graphic audio.
The door opened, revealing a room lined with monitors. They sprouted from the walls and ceiling on narrow mounts, like rectangular electronic flowers blooming among vines of cables. In the middle of this digital jungle, in a broken circle of keyboards, a man sat on a rotating platform. His clothes, a grimy, dark long-sleeve t-shirt and a pair of fatigue pants that had seen better days, hung on his slight frame. His disheveled dark hair, dragged rather than brushed from his forehead, competed with his clothes to see which lasted without washing the longest. His big eyes with brown irises burned with a manic intensity. His hand shook.
Give it to me.
He jumped off his chair. He was about my height and weighed about 20 pounds less. I raised the taser. Work first. He bounced in place.
I need it. Give it to me.
Work first.
Give it to me, bitch!
Work first.
Fuck! What?
Adam Pierce. Find him.
One to take the edge off. One?
I passed the vial to Mad Rogan, keeping the taser on Bug. He'd made a lunge at me before. Please give him one pill. Mad Rogan opened the jar. A pill rose in the air and floated to Bug. He snatched it out of the air, yanked a knife from the sheath on his belt, put the pill on the table, and sliced a third off. Fingers trembling, he swiped the smaller section of the pill off the desk and slid it in his mouth. Bug froze, standing on his toes, his hands straight down as if he'd been about to take flight. The shaking stopped, and Bug's eyes fell shut. He became completely and utterly still. Mad Rogan glanced at me. Equazole. Equazole was a military drug designed to level you out. If you were sleepy, it would keep you awake. If you were hyper, it would calm you down. When you took it, the world became clear. You saw everything, were aware of everything, reacted fast, but nothing broke your focus. It was issued to snipers and convoy drivers. They would take it to keep from overcorrecting or giving in to fatigue. And once it wore off, they'd sleep for 20 hours straight. It was a classified substance, but my mother still had connections. Bug opened his eyes.
They're quiet.
Thanks for listening to this graphic audio production. Graphic Audio has over 1,700 titles to choose from. Listen to over 225 binge-worthy series. We feature titles in genres like science fiction, fantasy, romantasy, westerns, mystery thrillers, comics, and more. Check out our exclusive series such as Deathlands, Rogue Angel, Outlanders, Tangent Knights, and Agent of Exiles, which are only available in our dramatized adaptation format. Experience a radically different type of audiobook produced with a full cast, sound effects, and cinematic music. Listen to a movie in your mind. On the go, anytime, anywhere. Our dramatized adaptation titles are available at all major audiobook retailers and platforms. Sign up for our email newsletter for the latest updates and new releases. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and other social platforms. For more information and samples of all our titles, visit our website at graphicaudio.net.